ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रेयो हि ज्ञानमभ्यासात् ज्ञानाध्यानं विशिष्यते, ध्यानात् कर्मफलत्यागात् त्यागात् शान्तिरनन्तरम्। If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation. And better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. So in this series of verses, this is the last verse. Before Krishna proceeds with the internal qualities of a pure devotee, from the next verse onwards. So this is a little difficult verse. So that is why today our lecture is sandwiched by two special singers, Vishwambar Prabhu and Eklavya Prabhu, so that you can take the philosophical dose. It requires some understanding of this verse. This is like a verse which is like a string that connects all the previous verses together and puts each of the different platforms in its place. So you can see the whole series of things that you learned before coming in this one verse. See, he is talking about abhyas, he is talking about jnan, abhyas, dhyan, karma phala tyaga. Everything is coming in this together. So he says, Shreyohi jnanam abhyasat. Shreyam is better. So jnanam, or knowledge, cultivation of knowledge, Krishna says, is better than some practice he is talking about. If you cannot take to this practice, knowledge is better. And better than knowledge is meditation, dhyana. Better than meditation is renunciation of fruits of action. And by such renunciation one can attain peace of mind. This can be a confusing verse. So what I am planning to do is, I have the purport of Burjan Prabhu, which I read over and over again a few times before I understood it myself, several times. So I would like to request Eklavya Prabhu to read a little bit in bits, then I'll explain little. So that we understand this verse nicely.
Text number 12.
I would request all of you to hear attentively, because only if you listen attentively.
If you cannot take to this practice, refers to the practice of karma yoga described in text 10, not to the practice of giving up all results of one's work for a good cause described in text 11. Knowledge here.
You see, text number 9, what is text 9? See, text number 8 is Mayyeva Mana Adatsva. That is the platform of one who is always remembering Krishna, in full consciousness of Krishna. And Krishna said, if you cannot do that, then in text 9 he said, you do the Abhyasa Yoga. You remember? Abhyasa Yogena Tato Mamichartham Dhananjaya. So we understood that Abhyasa Yoga there means devotional service which we do in practice, engaging the mind in practical services like, you know, rising early in the morning, chanting 16 rounds and all that. That is text number what?
9.
Yeah. And then text number 10, Krishna says, if we cannot engage the mind in that manner, and if we cannot follow all the rules and regulative principles and everything, then text number 10, what do you say? Nishkam karma yoga, sakama karma yoga. Then he says that you work for me. So you all can keep that in mind now. So here in this verse, Krishna says, Shreyohi jnanam abhyasat. When you hear this word abhyasa, what does it look like? What is said in text number?
12.9.
What is said in text number 12.9? But this abhyasa is not that. You will see that. Although Krishna says here, better than abhyasa's knowledge, how it is not, he will prove it in this verse.
Knowledge here refers to Brahmagyan, knowledge of the soul as different from the body, and meditation suggests yogic meditation by which one will realize the super soul. Thus, these verses describe a sequence. Text 8. Perfected devotional service, always remembering Krishna. Text 9. Devotional service in practice, performing sadhana bhakti and engaging in activities that fix the mind directly on Krishna. For example, devotional practices typical of temple life. Text 10 and 12. Karma Yoga, working with detachment and offering Krishna the fruit of one's work, either in Nishkam Karma Yoga or Sakam Karma Yoga. This awards one actual peace, bhakti, as described in the peace formula, Bhagavad Gita 5.29.
So again we repeated those things which we have been speaking again so that we clearly remember 8, 9, 10 what they are talking about. So as per the verse 10, if you work for Krishna you get shanti. What is that shanti? It is not the ordinary shanti that a materialist is aspiring for. We should not think it is ordinary shanti. This shanti is that which Krishna says, what is that verse? Bhoktaram Vigita Pasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Sudantarabhutanam Nyatvama Shanti Mrityati. What is the difference between this shanti and the shanti that often the materialistic people working in companies look for? Stress relief. What is the stress relief shanti incomparable to this shanti? Who can say?
This shanti is from minus to zero.
Yeah.
But shanti Krishna is talking about from zero to positive.
Zero to positive. This is Krishna speaking about that shanti which one gets by understanding Krishna's supremacy and one's servitorship. You understand, yeah. So this shanti actually comes by taking shelter of Krishna, under the shade of Krishna. That is actual shanti, like Mataji said, it's beyond zero. It is not just some relief from pain. One understands that till now I have been suffering because I have forgotten Krishna. Now I want to engage in Krishna's service, so I am peaceful like that. So that is the working for Krishna. Anybody who works for Krishna will experience that kind of joy. Anybody who does even a little service, like, you know, Kubja wanted to do little service, she felt such joy by that. So now we repeated the meaning of those three verses 8, 9 and 10. Now we will proceed further.
Two other stages which are lower than Karma Yoga are also mentioned in text 12. Meditating and cultivating knowledge, Brahma Gyan. Still lower than Brahma Gyan and without a direct transcendental result is the method mentioned in text 11, detached work while offering the fruit not to Krishna but to a mundane cause. Krishna has already explained in chapter 5 that by working in a detached fashion, one attains Brahmagyan.
So we have to be clear about the position of bhakti or devotional service in relation to jnana, Brahma jnana. Often, the people in the path of speculative knowledge, they think that jnanis are better than bhaktas. They think bhakti is actually meant for the sentimentless and jnana is meant for the intelligent people. Bhakti people are the emotional people, sentimental people, so they cannot actually understand the deep philosophy of Vedanta. So they generally take to chanting, dancing in the street and all that. This is what who thinks like this? Jnanis think like that. That's why one jnani was telling, I don't want to mention the name. So there was one tussle between one jnani and bhakta. So one jnani was telling, let's see, your bhakti books are at the bottom. He kept Bhagavad Gita is at the bottom. But our books on jnana, the Upanishads and everything else is kept in the top. He said, so we are superior, he said. So the bhakta said, actually this book is at the bottom because it's the foundation for the very knowledge. So how bhakti forms the foundation, one has to be thoroughly convinced about it. Otherwise, one may not develop complete faith in Krishna. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. As soon as you develop complete faith in this Bhagavat tattva vijnanam, scientific understanding of devotional service, then you will see that your roots in the material world are gradually becoming slackened, and you will ascend to the spiritual world. So we should have a firm faith that the path of bhakti yoga is supreme. We can confirm it by various verses within the crest jewel of all literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. Like for example, Bhagavatam affirms the position of a devotee, Krishna's devotee, by saying many verses. For example, I was quoting in some classes ago, Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prashantatma kotishvar mahamuni. It says among the liberated souls and perfected siddhas, one Krishna bhakta is one out of crores, it says. One out of crores is one Krishna devotee. So clearly Bhagavatam says bhakti is far above the jnana and dhyana and karma and yoga and all different paths like that. Similarly in Bhagavad Gita you find tapasvibhyo adhiko yogi, jnanibhyopi matodhika, karmibhya chadhiko yogi, tasmat yogi bhavarjana. So Krishna is telling, actually one verse before this, anybody knows? Krishna also talks about in the 6th chapter. This process of yogic process and how one leaves the body, everything is finished there. So here he says, tapasibhyo adhiko yogi. A yogi is greater than an ascetic, greater than an empiricist, and greater than the fruity worker. Therefore, in all circumstances, be a yogi, Krishna says. So it's a little mystical verse because he doesn't say which yogi you should be. He says, you be better than an empiricist or a speculative philosopher. Or you should be better than one who is a karmi, one who is working hard. Karmi. Then in that way Krishna says you be a yogi. So many people say be a yogi, be a yogi. Everyone talks about being a yogi. But in the next verse Krishna says what type of yogi you should be. What that was? Yoginam api sarvesham, amongst all the yogis. Madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam sameyukta tamomatah. See the word shraddha, bhajan, it is associated with jnana marg. Or yoga marg, which marg? Bhakti marg. Bhakti marg, isn't it? It's very simple. You don't talk about loving the impersonal Brahman. Isn't it falling in love with impersonal Brahman? You don't hear of that. Or having a great Shraddha for impersonal Brahman. You don't hear that. When you talk of Shraddha and Bhajan, as soon as you say Bhajan, what comes to your mind immediately? The Bhakta comes to the mind, isn't it? Bhakta having some instruments and playing and singing the Lord's names. And he says bhajan immediately. So clearly Krishna says yoginam api sarvesham, amongst all the yogis, which yogi am I talking about in the previous verse? Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana, one who is constantly keeping me in his heart and meditating on me, like he says mayyeva mana adatsa mayi buddhim niveshya. Madgate towards me. Yeah. Towards me only. Yes. Yeah. It's very clear that verse. So that means Krishna has clarified that there may be many paths like jnana, yoga, karma and all that, but who is the topmost person according to Krishna? Prabhupada says, at least according to Bhagavad Gita, in one of the arguments Prabhupada says, at least according to Bhagavad Gita, Bhakta is the supreme. Amongst jnani, yogi and all that, different categories of people. And in the 12th chapter beginning also we found how Krishna said, one who worships him in his personal form is by far superior to one who worships him in his impersonal form, impersonal aspect. So after talking all these things, now here there are some things mentioned here, jnana and dhyana. Jnana is speculative knowledge, which a jnani does, the brahmajnana. What is the ultimate knowledge that a jnani gets?
I am not this body.
I am not this body. Yeah. I am the spirit soul. Aham Brahmasmi. So this is what he has to realize. Certainly not a bad realization. It is certainly a very great realization that I am not the body, I am the soul. One understands that. But in relation to understanding the personality of Godhead, this is a very puny realization. Probably we can say, Aham Brahmasmi is the ABC of devotion service. And can be misleading also, yeah. Yeah, he may be even imagining that I am the super soul. Isn't it? That is why he says here in that line, which you read now, that after talking about the highest pedestal, devotional service, in this verse number 12, Krishna is talking about two other lower ranks. What are they? Jnana and Dhyana. Speculative knowledge and meditation. These two. And one step below that is the renunciation of one's fruits, not for Krishna, but for some social cause. Like that, which has no transcendental result. It's clear to everyone? See, unless you renounce your fruits in relation to Supreme, you cannot achieve transcendental result. So what is the meaning of this? For example, you go to your Krishna temple, you offer a flower to him, or fruit to him, or offer obeisances to him, offer some pranam to him. So whether you know or not, you have achieved some transcendental result. It's done already. Just like I was telling about Kubja's example. She did some service, and then immediately Krishna thought, what can I, you know, do in return for Kubja? She has done some service for me. I want to do something in return for her like that. So you do go and do something to Krishna, and Krishna wants to repay that in some way. So Krishna naturally gives transcendental result, which means you will get some bhakti realization. You will take one step closer to Lord when you render some service to him. But if you do social service by giving some clothes or giving some food, you get some material result, material punya. That gives you some bodily comfort only. Maybe bodily or mental, or some intellectual, some that kind of material comfort you get. No transcendental result. That's the reason in text number 11, no such a spiritual result is mentioned in the text number 11, which we read. That one should, as we said, you renounce the fruits for some social cause, at least you are safe enough that you will not enjoy that result. That's the only thing. And become victimized. Just like, for example, somebody goes to Tirupati, you know. Like one devotee went to Tirupati and came. He gave me a dozen laddus in my office. And immediately phoned up and called the devotee and said, I will take one laddu. You take all of them and distribute to devotees. I was, what is the danger in keeping 12 laddus with us? You start eating one by one, isn't it? You eat one and then you want second one and third one, and tomorrow you will have stomach problem, isn't it? So if you keep too much of result with you, with yourself, everything, then naturally you will end up putting yourself in a troublesome situation. Yeah. That's why he says, better don't keep with you. Give it away. But then, giving away to whom? That's very important. If you give away for a social cause, then you get mundane result. You give away for Krishna's cause, you get a spiritual result. Is it very clear? Yeah. So in this verse, Krishna is talking three levels. One is the bhakti. Bhakti may be, which bhakti may be? It may be pure devotion service as in text number 12.8. Or it may be devotion service and practice as in 12.9. Or it may be indirect service to Krishna in the form of sakama and nishkama karma yoga as in 12.10. So all of them are in the top rung. Everyone is clear about that? And then the next second rung is jnana and dhyana. Yeah. Jnana and dhyana is certainly superior to simply renouncing fruits. Because if you read the chapter 5, there Krishna says that one who has not perfected the renunciation should not leave his duty. Because if there is impurity in the heart, if one leaves his duty, then again one may fall back to the old platform. So that is why the jnana and dhyana are superior to simply renouncing the fruits. Yeah, correct. So he is explaining in that verse 4.33 that if you renounce the fruits without knowledge, you get some benefit. But then when you go to the platform of knowledge, you get more benefit. And if you go to the platform of devotion, you get the maximum benefit by that. Try to compare this. If you are renouncing fruits at the lowest plane, not knowing to whom are you offering, who is benefiting, you don't know, you are not the body, you are the soul. Simply because some brahmanas are telling you to put the grains in the fire, sacrifice, you put it. They are telling you put ghee. You have seen brahmanas giving direction. Now you take the water, and take in this hand, that hand, they will say all that. You just keep following what they say. That is not considered blind either, because you are following the Vedic rituals as per the scriptures, but not with much knowledge what you are doing. But that renunciation gradually elevates one to knowledge. When one comes to knowledge stage, he understands, oh, now I have been renouncing. Now I am understanding that I am actually not this body. And I should renounce the things of the world. Because in this world you can never become happy. So let me get moksha, he thinks. So he comes to jnana. And when he matures in jnana, he goes for dhyana. Then he starts doing dhyana, meditation. And meditation on what? It may begin with impersonal Brahman. And gradually one may understand the Virat Purusha form. Yeah, you remember the verse now again? In the 9th chapter we studied. Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mam upasate ekatvena pratatvena bahudha vishvato mukham. He begins with ekatvata, which is jnana. And then bahudha vishvato mukham. And then vishvato mukham he comes, which is meditation on the Virat Purusha. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami directly begins with meditation on Virat Purusha, you will see that. He doesn't talk about jnana, dhyana and all that. Directly he goes to, which is the chapter, which canto? Yeah, so he directly goes to Vishwatomukha. He says, process of devotional service, you begin with that. And then 10th canto, you come to understand Krishna. Gradually when you ascend like that. So, that means, renunciation of fruits, above that jnana and dhyana, which culminates in bhakti. Bhakti not necessarily Shuddha Bhakti, which may be even Vaidhi Bhakti. So these three levels should be very clear in mind. And we can substantiate it with any number of verses. There are so many, as Krishna says, for example, if you take a yogi, you all said that was yogi nama pi sarvesha. If you talk of a jnani, bahu nama janma namante, jnana manma prapati, devasudeva sarvamiti, samahatma sudarlabha. And if you take a karmi, there is one verse in the 5th chapter. Krishna talks about we can talk about this verse, 3.9. Yajñārtāt karmaṇaḥ anyatra dokayam karma bandhanaḥ. We can show that ultimately all these paths have to bring one to the point of bhakti. Otherwise one cannot attain perfection.
In the final verses in this chapter, Krishna... chapter 12. Appendix 5. Answering two questions on the Bhagavad Gita, verses 12.9 through 12.12. In this appendix, I attempt to answer two questions. This is Burijan Prabhu's book, Surrender Unto Me. In this appendix, I attempt to answer two questions about my understanding of the verses Bhagavad Gita 12.9 through 12. And the presentation of the progression found in them. Of all the sections in the Bhagavad Gita, I have found these verses especially difficult to connect. Indeed, each acharya has described and explained Krishna's words in his own way. Because of this, I have basically limited my comments to the understanding I have gathered from Srila Prabhupada's translations and purports. Question.
Here, what is the confusion in this verse? It appears Krishna is saying, Shreyu jnanam abhyasat, he says. Which means, he says, better than abhyas is cultivation of knowledge. So what is the problem here? If you take this abhyas to be what is mentioned in text number 9, which is Vaidhi Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti, then it would mean that Shreyu jnanam abhyasat. That means, better than... then perform jnana, it will appear like that. And then if you cannot do jnana, then you do dhyana, it says. And then ultimately it says, if you cannot do dhyana, do karma phala tyaga, it says. Which is considered actually lower than jnana and dhyana, isn't it? As per the karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga and then bhakti yoga comes, isn't it? Why Krishna says, if you cannot do bhakti, then you do jnana. Then you, if you cannot do that, you go to dhyana. Otherwise do karma phala tyaga, it appears to be coming down again. So that confusion can be there, and he clarifies it here. Yeah. No, we'll explain that. At the end of
after reading the first paragraph of the comment to text 10, the previous two verses dealt primarily with engaging our mind, the chief of the internal senses, on Krishna. This verse, a stage lower, directs our external senses in Krishna's service.
Text number 10.
Yeah. As a means of further advancement. Even if we are unable to think of Krishna through absorption in his devotional service, either in perfection or in practice, we can make progress by working for him. This platform is called Karma Yoga. Someone could ask, doesn't text 9 deal primarily with Vaidhi Bhakti or Sadhana Bhakti, including working, for example, doing practical things for Krishna? And doesn't text 10 describe the work for Krishna performed by those unable to follow the rules of devotional service?
This question is, when we talk of text number 9, this is like as often one might think that following the regulative principles is possible for only a devotee in platform number 9, text number 9, Abhyasa Yoga. That means you chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles, and you worship the deity, and you are able to engage your mind in Krishna's thought, then you are in which platform? Text number 9. And if you remember last class, I was telling you that if you cannot follow the regulative principles, but you are working for Krishna, you are in which verse? Text number 10. Now, not able to follow the regulative principles means what? Is it the 4 regulative principles? Prabhupada says no. You will see in Prabhupada's verse clarification. That's what you are coming now.
Answer. When Srila Prabhupada in his purport to text 10 speaks about being unable to follow the rules, one may infer that he is referring to an inability to follow the 4 rules that qualify one for initiation. However, in his purport to text 9, Srila Prabhupada described the rules and regulations about which he is speaking, the basic activities of sadhana bhakti. Quote, to practice the regulative principles.
That we don't have to, again, like Prabhupada says, one should rise early in the morning, you know, one should chant the minimum number of rounds, and one should pluck flowers, and one should bathe the deity, dress the deity and all that, you know. This is what Prabhupada mentions as regulative principles. Prasad. These are actually 64 devotional regulative principles, yeah. So someone may not be in that platform of doing all these regulative principles strictly. For example, somebody goes to bathroom, somebody goes to latrine, they should take bath. After passing school, one should take bath. That is just one of the standards. Similarly, every day one should offer water to Tulasi and circumambulate Tulasi. And one should bathe the deity, dress the deity, bring flowers, you know, offer garland to the Lord, offer bhoga to the deity. And one should not eat anything but prasadam. So if you see those regulative principles, they are certainly very advanced principles. And somebody who is not able to follow to such a standard but is one step lower, then they are in text number 10. So they may be working for Krishna and not following all those 64 principles strictly. But the 4 regulative principles, they surely follow. They don't break the 4 regulative principles. That should be very clear.
In text 8, Krishna describes one who has already achieved attachment to him and full absorption in him. And text 9 describes the activities, the rules and regulations by which one may achieve that result. Text 10, the discussion about inability to follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga seems again to be referring to the principles of engagement described in text 9, which is a specific level of activity or service to Krishna. In text 10, Krishna is clearly describing a devotee who serves on a lesser level, the level of karma yoga, and Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, details the services offered by devotees practicing on the levels of either Niskam Karma Yoga or Sakam Karma Yoga. The results of such service is elevation in Krishna consciousness. A way to distinguish between the type of activities Krishna recommends in text 9 and the type of activities Krishna recommends in text 10 is to note the differences in relation to how the mind is engaged. Those engagements described in text 9 directly engage the mind in Krishna's service, and those mentioned in text 10 only indirectly engage the mind. Thus, the activities of text 9 are superior. In text 10, which describes karma yoga, the devotee offers to Krishna the fruits of the work he is already doing.
So as it is said here, what is the difference between text 9 and 10? In text 9, these activities help one to directly serve Krishna, leading to thinking of Krishna over a period of time. Whereas in text 10 he says one is indirectly serving Krishna. So in the last line he said, according to text 10, the devotee is offering the fruits which he is already doing. For example, somebody is a tailor, he is already doing that work, and then he comes across Krishna consciousness. So then he does tailoring and offers his fruits to Krishna. So this is in the category of Yatkaroshi, Rashnasi, Yajhoshi, Tadasiya. See, one verse before that, can someone remember what it is? Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upadritam ashnami prayatatmanah. If you offer me leaf, fruit, flower and all these things, with bhakti, two times Krishna says, then I will accept it. But if you don't have that kind of bhakti, then whatever you are already doing, offer the fruits of that to me. So that immediately pushes it down to karma yoga. So one is bhakti yoga, and another one is nishkama karma yoga. Then Krishna says, somebody may say, Krishna, I have to offer you patram, pushpam, palam, so I am sitting in the puja room. Now how can I do all that? I have so many important things to do. Then Krishna says, you are having some important engagements? No problem. From there only, what do you do? Yad karoshi. Okay, whatever you are doing. Yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, dadasi. At least you offer the fruit to me. Because you are not going to not do anything in the world. You have to do something. Yad karoshi. So you do it for me. Whatever you are doing, you do it for me. That's why he is saying a devotee offers results of what he is already doing. Because in this world, the living entities have a desire to do certain things. Like we all have a desire to engage in certain type of activities. We have a tendency to do a certain type of work which you cannot renounce. Is it considered bad that you cannot renounce a desire to do a particular type of work? Shastra say yes and no, both. Let us say what is the meaning of yes and what is the meaning of no. Yes, Shastra say it's inferior in one sense. You cannot give up your tendency to do work. It's yes, it's bad. Why? You got this tendency to do work because of the three modes. That's why there is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra category. So we all have a certain type of tendency to do work. We like to do something in our lives. So in that sense, we are still under the modes, we are not free. So that sense it is inferior, it is bad. So one, sometime or other, one has to come to a point where one can give up the different type of tendencies we want to do and just do what the Lord wants us to do. Some people even ask, you know, what are you people doing? You know, you are just, you know, offering boga to Lord and bowing down and chanting, dancing. Why don't you take up some job? People ask like that. You are so educated. Why don't you do some job? Why don't you stand on your own leg? Why do you depend on society? People ask like that. This goes to prove the impurity in their hearts. What is the impurity? Because they have a tendency to do work always. Because if you tell them to give up work, they will die. For example, you tell them, you know the story, na, famous story. Sadhu was sitting under a tree and the king was passing in his, you know, in his big rath and everything with all the, you know, all the association, everyone, big crowd, and you know, brahmanas chanting and the horses and elephants and everything. The king got down and asked the sadhu, what are you doing? And the sadhu said, I'm thinking of the Lord. And king laughed and said, just see how foolish the world is, that they are being cheated by this kind of sadhus who are parasites on society. Just sitting and idling, not doing anything. Why don't you do some work? He asked. Then the sadhu said, okay, my dear king, if you think that I am in a very comfortable position, not doing anything, why don't you sit in my place? He said, so I will go and do the work of a king. And king said, yes, and I would like to be a free bird also. So they exchanged their roles, they swapped their roles. And then sadhu went to be a king for some time. And by the time he reached, within half a day, the king came running back. He said, now I am so much in anxiety about my, you know, army, about my ministers and about the people, about this and that and everything. He could not sit at one place peacefully even for a few minutes. So one Subramanya Bharati in South India, he wrote a poem called as Summa Iru. Summa Iru means just keep quiet. It's very difficult for the living entity. Always the senses are, you know, very, very disturbed. His eyes and nose and ears and hands and legs. He has to keep doing something. That verse says, Nahi kashchit chanamapi jat tishtatya karma krat. Karyate hi avashak karma. Avashak karma means helplessly. Everyone is running here and there doing activity. Which is actually in actuality, it's conducted by whom? Prakriti kriyamanani. For the three modes of material nature. That is why this tendency to do a particular type of work to which we are attached to, that is in one sense an impurity, because we have to go to a stage where we can simply watch Krishna, we can simply do arti for Krishna, we can simply bow down to him and simply love him and just do what he wants us to do. It's a very high platform actually. So in that sense it's impurity. In another sense, this tendency to do a certain work is not called bad. Why is it not called bad? Yeah, one can actually, we all are born with certain tendencies and we cannot deny it. You know, we are born with certain tendencies. Like Krishna says, Chaturvanya Maya Sishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. He says, every living being covered by one of the modes is categorized in this category. Like Brahmanas are in goodness, Kshatriyas are in passion, and Vaishyas are in passion ignorance, and Shudras are in ignorance. Yeah. So if there is a soul situated in goodness and you give him the label Brahmana, he will actually follow the duties of a Brahmana very nicely. And then that performance of duty will purify him of his tendencies when he achieves the knowledge and elevate him to transcendence. Same thing with Kshatriya also. Like you tell a Kshatriya, one who has Kshatra Karma Svabhavajam, he says, you know, what are the activities of Kshatriya, qualities of a Kshatriya. So anyone having a certain tendency to do work should stick to the tendency and perform work allotted in the scriptures. Very nicely. And when one does that and connects that work to the Lord, then gradually one becomes purified and goes to transcendence. Like that. So in that sense, the Shastras don't condemn a person having a tendency to do work. If you condemn a person having a particular tendency to do work, what do you think he will do? Nabuddhi Bedam Janiyat, he says. Yeah. Karma Sangina, he says, no. So if you condemn, if you give a lecture like in a public like this, that no, in this world we have a tendency to do work, you know, we are conducted by three modes, then immediately a living entity will try to pretend to be transcendental. He will try to prove to the world that I don't have any tendency to do work, I just do whatever is prescribed in the scriptures for a transcendentalist. So then one will become a pretender sadhu. Mithyachara suchitvartate karmendriyani samyamya yaste manasasmaran indriyartan vimudhatma mithyachara suchitate. One becomes a charlatan meditator. Which means, the externally one may take up the robes of a saintly person or somebody in the platform of transcendence, but his mind and senses internally have not yet become purified or controlled. So such a person is constantly contemplating on sense objects within the mind. So his heart is impure, although externally he may take the robes of a saintly person. And what is bound to happen eventually? One goes down, falls down. And that becomes a very bad precept, bad example for the society. So Krishna says, no, as long as your tendencies are there, you do work according to your tendencies. And when you are purified of your tendencies, then you come to transcendence. Like that he says.
That's what Krishna
says, Siddhimindati manava, yeah, swakarmana, according to your karma, you offer the fruits, he says. He explains, yes. So we can do our duties, but we should not think that's the highest plane. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu condemned when he went to Udupi, the Tattvavadis, only because of that. The Tattvavadis argued that according to scriptures, whatever is your tendency, you just do work according to your tendency and offer the fruits and finished. That is the highest religion, they said. But Mahaprabhu said, no. That is the lower religion. Higher religion is to become purified of our tendencies and come to a stage where we will do what Krishna wants us to do. We will do only that, what Krishna wants us to do. And we don't see what is my nature or his nature and all. We just do what Krishna wants us to do. So we can read the last sentence again and proceed further.
Thus, the activities of text 9 are superior. In text 10, which describes karma yoga, the devotee offers to Krishna the fruit of the work he is already doing.
Maybe we can say one step further here. That means in text number 9, one gives up his prescribed duty and does what Krishna wants him to do. So do you think giving up prescribed duty is a good idea? How many of you think it's a good idea, giving up one's prescribed duty? Anybody knows what Bhagavatam says about giving? Yeah. Will you say that verse? Tyaktva swadharmam charanambujam hare. All of you can repeat? Tyaktva swadharmam bhajanna pakvota patetato yadi yatrakpava bhadrama bhudamushyakim kovarta apto vavachatam swadharmatah. At least from the bhakti viewpoint, Narada Muni says that even if one gives up his prescribed duty and engages in the Lord's devotion service, and owing to the previous impurities lurking in his heart, the person falls down again back to irreligion or gives up his devotion service, and again he goes back to Swadharma. A practical example is, say a boy has given up his mother and father, he left everything, duties, and then he has, like in his con terms, we call it full time. He goes and he renders service. And then again the thoughts of mother and father come. He gets dreams of mother and father crying. So he leaves the duty again, comes back to mother and father and takes up the job again. It's a practical example, isn't it? Like that. So is it a shame? Oh, just see, this fellow has left. Narada Muni says there is no shame there. Because whatever time he rendered service fully for the Lord, that much benefit is intact, stored for him in his eternal bank account. And then a person again may be performing swadharma. What is the use of one who is simply doing swadharma without doing devotion service? He is asking. There is no use in somebody says, faithfully I am doing my duties in this world. Karma hi puja hai. People say, work is worship. He says there is no greatness in that. Krishna clearly says that. Like that. So text number 9 is a verse where one is ready to give up the prescribed duty. For example, in ISKCON sometimes you find gurus telling husband and wife that you don't do any software job, you just give it up. Both of you, husband and wife, you join full time. Even in Prabhupada's time it happened. Some people join full time, husband and wife. Now they have joined and they are doing devotion service, then wife is being questioned by many people. Hey, you don't know the danger. No, you don't have enough security. You know, your husband has given up the job and he is like a sadhu baba. And you think you can survive in this world today? You know, and how long guru is going to be on the planet? And later on you will have problems if you don't have enough security. And you know, tomorrow you will have children and how are you going to maintain them? So that is the kind of fear in the heart creator. And then she will go to the husband and bite his ears. All my friends are asking me like that. Similarly, the husband also is, troubled by his friends. You can see that. So this requires surrender, to give up completely. That is, one goes from text 10 to text 9. That one gives up everything and just does what the guru tells him to do. Of course, the guru says, no, you work my software job and give me a lot of money for Krishna service. That also is actually text 9. Because one just surrenders and does what the guru orders him to do, like that. So text 9 is like directly engaging in Krishna service. One is ready to do anything for Krishna's sake, because one has, so the attraction matures into affection and attachment, as we were discussing before. What begins as slight attraction for Krishna develops into affection and then attachment, firm attachment. So one progresses in this manner. But one in text 10 is not like that. One in text 10 continues to do what he likes to do, but he offers the fruits to Krishna. He doesn't mind offering, sharing the fruits with Krishna. Major chunk of his fruits. He says, I don't mind giving. I know that Krishna has got, I like to give. But I like to do what I am doing also. That's the difference it says.
Thus in text 10, I comment, the previous two verses dealt primarily with engaging our mind, the chief of the internal senses, on Krishna. This verse, a stage lower, directs our external senses in Krishna's service as a means. This is text 10. This verse, a stage lower, text 10, directs our external senses in Krishna's service as a means of further advancement. Even if we are unable to think of Krishna through absorption in his devotional service, either in perfection or in practice, we can make progress by working for him.
This, what is the verse in perfection?
Perfection is 8, huh?
In practice?
9.
And working for Krishna?
10.
Keep remembering that, huh?
This platform is called Karma Yoga. Question. After reading the first
question, if you understand this question answer, last one, then you will understand this verse clearly.
After reading the first sentence of the comments to text 12, if you cannot take to this practice, refers to the practice of Karma Yoga described in text 10. Someone could ask, don't the words "if you cannot take to this practice" in text 12 clearly refer to being unable to follow the principles mentioned in text 9? Answer. One can easily reach this conclusion because of the first sentence in Srila Prabhupada's purport. Quote, as mentioned in the previous verses, there are two kinds of devotional service, the way of regulative principles and the way of full attachment in love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For those who are actually not able to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, it is better to cultivate knowledge, because by knowledge one can be able to understand his real position. Two problems arise if we accept that the words of text 12, quote, if you cannot take to this practice, refer to text 9.
If you take that this verse, this abhyas, which Krishna says, if you think that this is the same abhyas as text number 9, abhyas, there are two problems, he says. The first problem, he says, is
Krishna glorified devotion service to be, he said that Shuddha Bhakti is the topmost, in 8. And if you cannot do Shuddha Bhakti, next he says, at least do Vaidhi Aganaga Bhakti, Vaidhi Bhakti, he says, isn't it? Which is also a direct process. And then he says, if you cannot do that also, at least work for me, which is also in the direct in one sense, because it brings one to direct. Now, will Krishna tell someone that if you cannot do Shuddha Bhakti, then you go to Jnana Marg? Will he say like that? Because Abhyasa, if you cannot do that Abhyas, why, instead of telling, work for me, will Krishna say that you take to Jnana? That's the first question.
Two problems arise if we accept that the words of text 12, if you cannot take to this practice, refer to text 9. First, Krishna would be more or less negating his own words in text 10, which instructed Arjuna that if he could not perform the activities described in text 9, the direct practices of Krishna consciousness, then he should follow the instructions in text 10 and practice karma yoga. By accepting Krishna's words in text 12, quote, if you cannot take to this practice, close quote, to refer to text 9, however, we would accept Krishna as saying, quote, if you cannot follow the direct practices of Krishna consciousness, then cultivate knowledge which will lead upward. The second and similar problem is that such an instruction would also contradict the second paragraph in Srila Prabhupada's purport to text 12, in which he divides the path into two: direct, focusing on Krishna as the goal, and indirect.
See, there are two types of ways to achieve the supreme abode. One is the staircase. You know, we can climb up to the staircase or come through the lift. What is the lift? Bhakti yoga, which may be Vaidhi Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. That is lift. Straight it brings you to Krishna's abode. Or you can come through the staircase. What is the staircase? Karma yoga, Jnana yoga, and then Ashtanga yoga, and finally Bhakti yoga. So that's called as indirect. So two paths are there. One is a direct path, one is a indirect path. Yeah.
Okay. So the two paths: direct, focusing on Krishna as the goal, and
that also can say. Out of the two, which is better, indirect path or the direct path?
Direct.
Yeah. So assume that one of you has been doing some Raj Yoga, or you have been doing some Dhyana Yoga, or some type of yoga you have been doing, and then you come across a devotee in your life. Then what happens to you is like here in Atharva also, you know, you're climbing up first floor, and then some devotee from the lift is calling you, come here Prabhu. So get into the lift, and then lift takes you to fourth floor directly, isn't it? So we can come to bhakti in any one of the staircases, either in Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and finally Bhakti Yoga. But this staircase takes a long time. Of course, here it's only four floors. Assume that you have a 100-story building. Climbing up is very difficult. But lift takes you very easily. So you can either, right from the beginning only, you can be in Bhakti Yoga, Vaidhi, Raganuga, Bhava, Prema, or you can come in one of those staircases in one of the floors. Is it clear to everyone? But wherever we are, coming to bhakti is the best thing, because it's a lift. You don't have to do anything. Just put yourself in association, and that takes you to Krishna back. Because by the association of a pure devotee and following the regular principles that he is teaching, you don't have to do much. All you depend on is his mercy. With little endeavor from our side and to follow the principles, and the pure devotee lifts us up. Like that.
Yeah.
Ultimately one has to come to bhakti, yeah. He's an engineer. He's saying that ultimately one has to come to bhakti only to go to Krishna. That's true. Bahu naam janma namante jnana man maam prapadyate. That's the meaning of what he said, yeah. Vasudeva sarvamiti. One has to come to bhakti like that. So that's clear to us, isn't it? Now, what do you think the Lord will do? If the Lord says, see, you have to be in the 100th story building right from the beginning, is it possible for us? We are on the ground floor now. Okay, what would Krishna say? If you are not in the 100th floor now, what do you think Krishna will suggest to you? Will he suggest you to get into the lift and go, or to come through the staircase?
Lift.
How many of you say lift? I think question is not clear, isn't it? Clear? Some of them are still doubtful, I think. See, you should be in the 100th floor. If you are not in the 100th floor, if you are in the ground, so would Krishna suggest you to come through the lift or come through the staircase? That's the question. How many say lift? Okay. How many of you say staircase? Let us see. Nobody. So it's clear, I think. Isn't it? So that is a contradiction now. So why should Krishna say, if abhyas you cannot do, shreyohi jnanam abhyasa jnanat. That is better that you cultivate knowledge. Why should he say like that? He's asking.
Okay, direct and indirect. Srila Prabhupada's purport to text 12, in which he divides the path into two, direct, focusing on Krishna as the goal, and indirect, not focusing directly on Krishna as the goal, but focusing on non-devotional renunciation of the fruits of work, the cultivation of knowledge of Brahman, or meditation on the Supersoul. Why would Krishna be advising that a soul be thrust from the direct path to the indirect path when he has already mentioned Karma Yoga in text 10, an alternative which is also on the direct path? My conclusion.
All the three verses, 8, 9, and 10, are on which path?
Direct
path, yeah. Now, someone in verse number 10 may not be as advanced as a jnani or a yogi, but still Krishna will say, you go from verse 10 to 9 to 8. Don't go to jnana marga or yoga marga. For example, sometimes a school has got from LKG to doctorate, and another school has got only from LKG to 10th standard. So, which one would you prefer? Yeah, doctorate, isn't it? So Krishna says, no, you stay in the same school. But this is going to take you to doctorate. Whereas if you join there, you will come only up to 10th standard, isn't it? Now somebody may be in the 8th or 9th standard, and you may be in 1st or 2nd standard. That doesn't make you inferior. Huh? Why? Because that fellow is not going to go beyond 10th. But now if you are here, you will gradually ascend and you will go to doctorate. So that's why it's better to go from 10 to 9 to 8, rather than take to dhyana or jnana.
My conclusion, therefore, is that Krishna's words in text 12, quote, if you cannot follow, refer to being unable to work for Krishna or unable to practice karma yoga as he instructed in text 10. The entire progression thus makes sense. Still, a problem arises. By accepting my conclusion, the first two sentences of Srila Prabhupada's purport to text 12 then become difficult to understand. Those sentences are, quote, as mentioned in the previous verses, there are two kinds of devotional service, the way of regulative principles and the way of full attachment in love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For those who are actually not able to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, it is better to cultivate knowledge, because by knowledge one can be able to understand his real position. To reconcile all of the above, I take it that the engagements Krishna describes in text 10, those of Karma Yoga, actually do fall within the realm of Vaidhi Bhakti, or the way of regulative principles, and that text 10 does describe the engagement of someone, quote, able to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, close quote, but on a lower level than those able to follow Krishna's instructions in text 9. That is the practical view. most of our congregation falls into the category of text 10. Not accepting this view, many of the congregational members might feel encouraged to renounce the practice of Nishkam Karma Yoga or Sakam Karma Yoga as described by Krishna in text 10 and begin cultivating knowledge of Brahman.
So he beautifully explains. What he says is that you be a Shuddha Bhakta. If you cannot be Shuddha Bhakta, and then the next text is saying about directly worshipping Krishna, isn't it? Abhyasa Yoga. So people may tend to think that if I cannot do that, then Krishna says, Shreyasi Jnanam Abhyasat Jnanat, he says. So they may tend to think that, okay, now I cannot do the temple worship, so close to Krishna, then let me cultivate knowledge, let me be a jnani. They may think like that. And they may go in the path of speculative knowledge. Instead of cultivating Sakama Nishkama Karma Yoga as mentioned in text number 10. Understand this problem that he is saying? Because most of the congregation is raised in general, because general congregation devotees, they do some activity and they offer the fruits to the Lord as per the text number 10. So they may tend to think that this is inferior to text number 9, what Krishna says. So let me better cultivate knowledge as per this verse. So they may adopt the wrong path, and they may go, instead of direct path, they may go in the indirect path and get caught up there.
Thus accepting Krishna's words in text 12, if you cannot take to this practice as referring to Karma Yoga as described in text 10, the progression as Srila Prabhupada has described it in the second paragraph of his purport, and as I have described it in my comment, remains intact.
So what he says is, text number 9 and 10 should be put in one capsule as Abhyasa Yoga. That's what is the conclusion of this entire discussion. Which means, not only text number 8 and 9 are helping one to engage one's mind in Krishna service, including 10 also. So when you talk about devotional service, when Krishna is saying that you offer the fruits to me, you work for me, when he says, so Prabhupada has explained, at least in Bhagavata as it is, that text number 9 and 10, there is not much difference, because one can ascend from 10 to 9 very, very easily if one is sincere in devotional service. Very, very quickly one will see that one goes from... In fact, you will find many congregation devotees also, besides doing their business, gradually they increase their commitment and surrender to Krishna over a period of time. Like I was telling last time, you remember? Like somebody comes to temple, takes out the purse and puts 50 paisa. You remember that? Last time we were discussing. So he is thinking, I am doing a big thing for Krishna. So that's how the surrender begins. But then he thinks these temple people are different people and I am different. He feels like that. But then as he comes closer and closer, what happens? Then he starts coming on Sundays. Then he starts coming 2-3 days. And then he gets initiated. Then he gets Brahman initiation. Then he starts worshipping the deities. And then he starts understanding the philosophy more. Then in this way, Mataji starts cooking and Prabhuji starts helping in the temple, and they become like a family. So from being a guest, they become a host for the temple like that. And so there is not much difference between their working and those who have given up their prescribed duties and totally dedicated to Krishna's service. There's not much difference between the two. So those in the text 10 can switch to text 9 even within a few years of sincere devotion service. In fact, many people even wonder, is it possible for us to devote more time for Krishna? Even the hankering that many congregation devotees have in their heart, that when will the time come when I can devote more time for Krishna? That itself is a sign that they are actually advancing. So, that is why he is saying that it should be put in one capsule, text number 9 and 10. And then the next verse will make sense now. If you see, Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasar, when he says, that means if one is not able to do the verse 9 and 10, which we call as Abhyasa Yoga, that means one is not a pure devotee of Krishna, and one is not able to directly engage in Krishna's service, and one is not able to indirectly also engage in Krishna's service, if one cannot do all of this, what was text 11? Renounce the fruits. Instead of that, Krishna is here saying, instead of that, Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasar. Let him try to cultivate knowledge. So let him try to cultivate knowledge, because cultivating knowledge will help him to know, I am not the body, I am the soul. He will realize his concentration. And then he says, Jnana Dhyanam Vishishyate. Along while cultivating knowledge, if we can do Dhyana of the Supreme Truth, it is certainly better than that Jnana, he says. And then Dhyana Karma Falatyadas. He says that. That also somewhere it is explained. This karma phala tyaga is not as explained in text 11. Yeah. This karma phala tyaga is actually, one is simply doing whatever one is doing in the world, but he offers the fruits to Krishna. So Krishna says that nishkama karma yoga is superior to jnana. How is that possible? Because it is in the direct path. That is why it is superior. Because it is falling in the direct path. Like, you know, being in the ground floor, he says, is superior to being in the second floor. Is it superior? How can you say that being in the ground floor is superior to being in the second floor? Because you are inside the lift. He says, that is the karma phala charga comes above dhyana also. Like that, above jnana and dhyana and everything. Like that. So, this is the way this verse has been understood. It is a very difficult to understand verse. So, this is the verse which binds all the other previous verses together. So when we read this verse and have a proper understanding, we can appreciate how wonderful is the path of devotion service, how great it is. It takes one to the highest platform in life. So we can, I feel in our level, we can try from 10 to, ascend from 10 to 9, and then from 9 to 8 verses. We can be in that progression and try to find out. So whenever we do a self-analysis or introspection, in our own personal lives, so we can see what are the activities am I doing. You know, we do the SWOT analysis, we say, the strength, weakness, opportunity and threats. You do for a company, we do. We can do for individual also. So what are my strengths in devotional service? What are my weaknesses? What am I prone to? I am weak in this. I am weak in getting up in the morning. Isn't it? Somebody may have a problem in the morning. I am weak, you know, wherever I find TV, my hands get itching. I feel like switching it on, changing the channels. So that's my weakness. So we can write down all our weaknesses. And what are my strengths? I go mad in kirtans. She's saying eating prasad. Isn't it? So I become very emotional when I hear kirtans. Very good, no problem. If you become emotional in kirtans and you appreciate kirtans of Krishna, it's a strength for you. So you can write your strengths, you can write your weaknesses. And what are the opportunities you have? You know, Pune Yatra is coming. National Youth Festival. Isn't it? There are many opportunities for me to render seva. I can do that. So, and then I can progress in this way. And I have a chance to take a house close to temple. I can come more often. Now they are giving me Brahman Diksha. I can also do some, you know, deity worship. And develop more attraction for Krishna. So these are opportunities. What are the threats? My company is giving me promotion. So they are going to hold my collars tight now. More work. Those are the threats. They will take me away from Krishna more. So we can make a SWOT analysis in our own lives. We can see. If you introspect yourself. So when I did it, I understood that sometimes we have a strong tendency to get diverted from Krishna in the material world. Somehow we are very enthusiastic for non-devotional activities, which are not so directly connected to Krishna. You know, you like doing management, you like controlling people, you like politics, you may like prajalpa and all that. So when it comes to doing directly devotional service to Krishna, you know, we may think that's not much fun. One may think like that, because we are not having that adhikar. We are not in that platform of nine. That's our problem. So even if you are not, we can gradually try to ascend to nine by trying to increase our devotional activities. So I won't dare to say that, you know, you should not do management and then how will the ISKCON run. That is why Prabhupada was very intelligent. Prabhupada understood that people have different tendencies and propensities, and he engaged everything. People, Prabhupada would see that everyone has different natures. Joshi yet sarva karmani vidvan yukta samachara, he says. Then one feels very happy. Thanks, Prabhupada. And they glorify Prabhupada also, because Prabhupada engaged me exactly in the way I like to be engaged. And they became purified also by that. And then we can come to a platform where we will be able to totally absorb ourselves like in 9 direct devotion service to Krishna. We have to do that. Actually, we can even take some trouble to do that, to engage in direct devotion service to Krishna. Like for example, cooking for Krishna, cleaning Krishna's vessels, dressing Krishna. And these kind of activities are very good actually, which are very closely related. You remember I was telling in the last class that such people actually, you know, get dreams of Krishna, they remember Krishna. At the time of death, they're remembering the deity in their mind, they go back to Godhead. And sometimes, you know, many of our activities which we do, they are too far away from Krishna. And it's very difficult to remember Him. So anybody can think of a very remote activity in Krishna consciousness? Any activity that's very remote but still considered Krishna conscious? Yeah. Battlefield, isn't it? For Krishna's sake. Like Arjuna's. But it's not an easy thing, isn't it? You have to fight and you have to remember Krishna also. I don't think any of us are doing that. Huh? Booking tickets for Yatra, she is saying. Isn't it? Collecting money also, yeah. From those who don't want to give. Isn't it? Yeah. They're really very tough. It's very, very difficult to maintain our purity and it's a challenge. But don't forget this. By rendering service to Krishna, you get Krishna's mercy also, which will actually elevate your inner consciousness and which will bring you from 9 to from 10 to 9, it brings you. That is also very important. On the other hand, you should not wrongly think that somebody is a bhajanan, that means he is in text 9. Somebody says, I always like doing only kirtan, bhajan, I like living in dham. Sometimes people talk like that. Oh, I want to go to Vrindavan, when will the time come, you know. I want to do only bhajan and all day long, you know. Actually, we don't have that adhikar, we cannot do that. We can see that we still have impurities. We have to do. Actually, Prabhupada made a balance. Whole morning we devote for bhajan. Yeah. Morning we are bhajanandi. The day we are goshtyanandi. Isn't it? So it can be as much as bhajanandi as you want in the morning. So you can have a nice puja room in your home. Light up a lamp. You know. Do agarbatti, do flowers, and completely absorb in bhajan here, kirtan. So then you have to go to job also. The daytime. And you have to do your other activities also. So Prabhupada made a nice blend of both, text number 9 and 10, so that we can come to text 8. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. So next class onwards, it's going to be a wonderful list of qualities of the internal qualities of a pure devotee. So by hearing that, we will become very purified. Hearing the qualities of a pure devotee, then we will also get that greed to develop these qualities. Is greed a good word or a bad word? How many of you say it's a good word? Really? But greed in Krishna consciousness, huh? Not greed for money. Because lavalyam api ekala molyam, Prabhu Swami says. So we can have the greed to acquire these qualities in our lives. Hare Krishna.